how kind his precepts are. Come cast your burdens on the Lord and trust his constant care.
Welcome to the Wednesday Gathering, a live Christian Science teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We are delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, our web address is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive. Now let's begin this Wednesday gathering with singing hymn number 46. Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Be Constant. The hymns are 46, 402, and 374. I shall be reading predominantly from the New Living Translation of the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. Before I begin the Bible readings, I'd like to give you the definition of constant found in wordsmith.net. Unchanging, continual, persistent, steadfast, and faithful. Related words to this definition are changeless, immutable, invariable, stable, steady, firm, endless, perpetual, devoted, dependable, reliable, permanent, timeless, eternal, everlasting, solid, indestructible, consistent, unvarying, true, and virtuous. 1 Chronicles. Now David assembled at Jerusalem all the leaders of Israel. Then King David rose to his feet and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations to build it. But God said to me, You shall not build a house for my name. He has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. Now he said to me, It is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. For if he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments, as it is this day. Jeremiah, Come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. Deuteronomy, The eternal God is your refuge, and his everlasting arms are under you. John, But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. And saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so he can give glory back to you, for you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. 2 Corinthians. For God, who said, Let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts. Our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are oppressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believe in God, so I spoke. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit, and as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. This is why we never give up, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. 1 Timothy. Fight the good fight for what we believe. Hold tightly to the eternal life that God has given you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses. 1 John. This is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. And from Science and Health. Christians rejoice in secret beauty and bounty, hidden from the world but known to God. Self-forgetfulness, purity, and affection are constant prayers. Practice, not profession. Understanding, not belief. Being the ear and right hand of omnipotence, and they assuredly call down infinite blessings. Trustworthiness is the foundation of enlightened faith. Without a fitness for holiness, we cannot receive holiness. The Hebrew verb to believe means also to be firm or to be constant. This certainly applies to truth and love understood and practiced. Firmness in error will never save from sin, disease, and death. Spiritual sense is a conscious, constant capacity to understand God. This shows the superiority of faith by works over faith in words. Its ideas are expressed only in new tongues, and these are interpreted by the translation of the spiritual original into the language which human thought can comprehend. The principle and proof of Christianity are discerned by spiritual sense. They are set forth in Jesus' demonstrations, which show by his healing the sick, casting out evils, and destroying death, the last enemy that shall be destroyed, his disregard of matter and its so-called laws. Knowing that soul and its attributes were forever manifested through man, The master healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, feet to the lame, thus bringing to light the scientific action of the divine mind on human minds and bodies, and giving a better understanding of soul and salvation. Jesus healed sickness and sin by one and the same metaphysical process. Who that has felt the perilous beliefs in life, substance, and intelligence separated from God can say that there is no error of belief? Knowing the claim of animal magnetism, that all evil combines in the belief of life, substance, and intelligence in matter, electricity, animal nature, and organic life, who will deny that these are the errors which truth must and will annihilate? Christian Scientists must live under the constant pressure of the apostolic command to come out from the material world and be separate. They must renounce aggression, oppression, and the pride of power. Christianity, with the crown of love upon her brow, must be their queen of life. The Apostle James said, "Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." The understanding that life is God, Spirit, lengthens our days by strengthening our trust in the deathless reality of life, its almightiness and immortality. This faith relies upon an understood principle. This principle makes whole the diseased and brings out the enduring and harmonious phase of things. The result of our teachings is their sufficient confirmation. When, on the strength of these instructions, you are able to banish a severe malady, the cure shows that you understand this teaching, and therefore you receive the blessing of truth. The Hebrew and Greek words, often translated belief, differ somewhat in meaning from that conveyed by the English verb believe. They have more the significance of faith, understanding, trust, constancy, firmness. Hence, the scriptures often appear in our common version to approve and endorse belief, when they mean to endorse the necessity of understanding. From the glossary, believing. Firmness and constancy, not a faltering nor a blind faith, but the perception of spiritual truth. The lonely precincts of the tomb gave Jesus a refuge from his foes, a place in which to solve the great problem of being. His 3 days' work in the sepulcher set the seal of eternity on time. He proved life to be deathless and love to be the master of hate. He met and mastered, on the basis of Christian Science, the power of mind over matter. All the claims of medicine, surgery, and hygiene. He took no drugs to allay inflammation. He did not depend on food or pure air to resuscitate wasted energies. He did not require the skill of a surgeon to heal the torn palms and bind up the wounded side and lacerated feet, that he might use those hands to remove the napkin and winding sheet, and that he might employ his feet as before. Could it be called supernatural for the God of nature to sustain Jesus in his proof of man's truly derived power? It was a method of surgery beyond material art, but it was not a supernatural act. On the contrary, it was a divinely natural act, whereby divinity brought to humanity the understanding of the Christ healing and revealed a method infinitely above that of human invention. His disciples believed Jesus to be dead while he was hidden in the sepulcher, whereas he was alive, demonstrating within the narrow tomb the power of spirit to overrule mortal material sense. There were rock-ribbed walls in the way, and a great stone must be rolled from the cave's mouth. But Jesus vanquished every material obstacle, overcome every law of matter, and stepped forth from his gloomy resting place, crowned with the glory of a sublime success, an everlasting victory. The understanding that the ego is mind, that there is but one mind or intelligence, begins at once to destroy the errors of mortal sense and to supply the truth of immortal sense. This understanding makes the body harmonious. It makes the nerves, bones, brain, etc., servants instead of masters. If man is governed by the law of divine mind, his body is in submission to everlasting life and truth and love. The great mistake of mortals is to suppose that man, God's image and likeness, is both matter and spirit, both good and evil. Man in science is neither old nor young. He has neither birth nor death. He is not a beast, a vegetable, nor a migratory mind. He does not pass from matter to mind, from mortal to immortal, from evil to good, or from good to evil. Such admissions cast us headlong into darkness and dogma. Even Shakespeare's poetry pictures age as infancy, as helplessness and decadence, instead of assigning to man the everlasting grandeur and immortality of development, power, and prestige. The everlasting I Am is not bounded or compressed within the narrow limits of physical humanity, nor can he be understood aright through mortal concepts. The precise form of God must be of small importance in comparison with the sublime question, what is infinite mind or divine love? The spiritual fact and the material belief of things are contradictions. But the spiritual is true, and therefore the material must be untrue. Life is not in matter, therefore it cannot be said to pass out of matter. Matter and death are mortal illusions. Spirit and all things spiritual are the real and eternal. Man is not the offspring of flesh, but of spirit, of life, not of matter. Because life is God, life must be eternal, self-existent. Life is the everlasting I Am, the being who was and is and shall be, whom nothing can erase. We have no right to say that life depends on matter now, but will not depend on it after death. We cannot spend our days here in ignorance of the science of life and expect to find beyond the grave a reward for this ignorance. Death will not make us harmonious and immortal as a recompense for ignorance. If here we give no heed to Christian science, which is spiritual and eternal, we shall not be ready for spiritual life hereafter. This is life eternal, says Jesus, is, not shall be. And then he defines everlasting life as the present knowledge of his Father and of himself, the knowledge of love, truth, and life. This is life eternal, that we might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The scriptures say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, showing that truth is the actual life of man. But mankind objects to making this teaching practical. We should consecrate existence not to the unknown God, whom we ignorantly worship, but to the eternal builder, the everlasting Father, to the life which mortal sense cannot impair, nor mortal belief destroy. We must realize the ability of mental might to offset human misconceptions and to replace them with the life which is spiritual, not material. The great spiritual fact must be brought out that man is, not shall be, perfect and immortal. We must hold forever the consciousness of existence, and sooner or later, through Christ and Christian science, we must master sin and death. The evidence of man's immortality will become more apparent as material beliefs are given up and the immortal facts of being are admitted. From the glossary, spirit, divine substance, mind, divine principle, all that is good, God, that which is perfect, everlasting, omnipresent, omnipotent, infinite. For victory over a single sin, we give thanks and magnify the Lord of hosts. What shall we say of the mighty conquest over all sin? A louder song, sweeter than has ever before reached high heaven, now rises clearer and nearer to the great heart of Christ. For the accuser is not there, and love sends forth her primal and everlasting strain. This concludes the healing message and the publicly recorded portion of the meeting.